The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieves me. Way I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke.
If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Dayton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. Boy they ain't for no reason, reason I live in. Watch them only passion for a season, season. Godless, I got weed them, weed them. I represent
third night and welcome again to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, Governor, MP, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. Our producer tonight is Mr. Chris. And, you know, it's just been a wonderful week. I hope each and every one of you had a great week. For those of you who have not, try to relax yourself on the weekend and see as much as possible to make yourself, you know, less stress-free. Tonight's topic, you know, we're going to talk about programs that are benefiting the Bahamian people. And much of us who live in the country, you know, our self-esteem, our desire to go there and look for work or find a solution in the country when it comes to making your life a little better, you know, when there are programs out there. But because of many of us going out over the years, applying for jobs, you know, and failing not to meet the requirements or the job is underpaid, you know, many of us lose the desire to even continue. You know, many of us have given up. And if you look around Nassau and the Bahamas, you'd see many persons, you know, have no purpose in life. Many persons are stagnated. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what they want to do with their life. So a lot of people in this country have given up hope. You know, I live in an inner city community, and it just would every day fight me and always ask me if I have something to do. You know, they need work, you know, but I only could help one or two people. But the center's down the road that helps people on a regular basis. But far as, say, you know, being able to employ them, you know, I can't because I'm helping one or two persons. So we're doing some work on the ground, cleaning up the community. And we're doing this freely in our community to build it to a village so we can be able to create small businesses in the community, the corner act. All those persons asking you every day, all those persons losing their mind, you know, females, you know, want work, but they can't find a work. So, you know, I have come up with a strategic plan. And I always said that, you know, you just can't wait on government, you know, because government itself has too many things that they are dealing with. You know, if you look at the prime minister, for instance, you know, even though the government is doing some great job business-wise, you know, they are capitalizing, you know, making some major investments, you know, around the country. And they're doing great business. They're also doing great in a lot of different fronts that I'll talk about later on today. And I'm not one to boast about political parties, but government. But I'd have my say because I feel that, you know, a government can be in and they're doing some great programs. Not necessarily the government is doing an overall great job as far as, you know, pleasing the general public. But there are programs that are beneficial to the Bahamian people, and some of us need to get the information and just go try again, man. Just don't give up, man. You know, I know it's rough and tough, and I know. All kind of obstacles, all kind of stress. But listen, man, don't give up. You know, continue to lift yourself up out of the bed and continue to try, okay? Because right now you can't. Just don't give up. You got to survive, you know? You understand? So, yes, this is a little tough time for thousands of people in the country who can't find a work or can't find their purpose in life, because there are not so many opportunities that the country has presented itself as us being one of the richest Caribbean countries. You know, we have 5,000 students come out of school every year, but we don't have enough employment. We don't have enough companies to deal with this 5,000 of influx of students every year. Then we have that piling up with the 5,000 next year, then the 5,000 before that, and then there's 5,000 more to come every year. And we don't have the kind of industry, right, to be able to provide jobs in the city community, especially when there's a lot of crime and a lot of people have run out the community because of crime. So we have to clean up the community and make it a safe environment again to bring opportunities back in these communities and get the clientele to come back in these communities. So it's a lot of work that needs to be done. And to give you a prime example, I've always talked about the tourism ministry. And I feel, honestly, from my personal view, I feel that we had about 9.7 million visitors visit the Bahamas, all right, last year alone. It was estimated by the Ministry of Tourism that the Bahamas made some $5.7 billion off the tourism market in the country. And I just want to piggyback to show you that when I talk about the tourism industry, I'm talking about the jet ski industry, I'm talking about the tour industry, I'm talking about the taxi industry, I'm talking about the hair braiding industry, I'm talking about the souvenirs industry, you know, I'm talking about selling fruits industry, you know, so many of the ABNB industries that can be created in these communities so that we can be able to fulfill and give a lot of these young people an opportunity. I was reading something from Julian Reed, and he said that, you know, he's talking to some young kids, and he said, man, the kids, them don't have no future. They don't know what they want to do, and that's what we have become as a country. So I want to give you a prime example when I talk about the tourism industry, and I want to show you how the leaders of the country is doing a great job, but I just want you to understand that you as a citizen could also be that change, you know, even though the government has the asset. But I want you to pay close attention at what this minister is doing in his constituency, a deputy prime minister, and what he's doing in his constituency, not only bringing development, and I'm not saying this because it's a part of a political party. I just want you to understand what this minister is doing to his community and his constituency as the representative. He's widening about opportunities to start small businesses in the respective community. So this alone is going to stop crime from happening in the community. If this would actually decrease crime in the community, because as long as people can have a proper regular income, it's highly unlikely for them to fall crime or to think about crime, because a trickle-down effect would happen. And this is what the deputy prime minister is doing. These are the kind of things that we as citizens and people in these communities need to do. In villages, we need to know in the family, and this is what we need to do. And we need this to get together as a team, you know, in your respective community. You can do it. You can do it. Go ahead. Could you play it for me, Chris?
In related news this evening, the local short-term vacation rental industry has seen a boom in recent years, with more and more property owners turning their spaces into places for lodging. And the Davis administration's recent rollout of an initiative for Bahamian owners and those considering entering this very lucrative market might help send these already skyrocketing figures to a whole new galaxy. Cornel Pfeiffer reports.
The timing and location of the launch of this Bahamian-owned short-term vacation rental funding program are by no means coincidental. On Exuma Saturday, Deputy Prime Minister and Tourism Minister, as well as Exuma's MP, Chester Cooper, announced a $1 million grant program.
This is a big deal. I think it's important for the development of tourism, and I've talked about needing more rooms in the Bahamas, and the government is encouraging the private sector to do it. But we're doing something about it.
This initiative, says the tourism minister, aims to build wealth for Bahamians. Exuma, an island still swirling around uncertainty with the recent temporary closure of the 200-room Sandals Resort, stands to benefit significantly. The deputy prime minister will fill the gap in the loss of rooms from Sandals' closure.
This is just one of the many programs that we're launching through the Tourism Development Corporation, and I'm very excited about this initiative.
His excitement, it appears, is also about touting what he calls two of the most transformative vehicles in boosting the economy through the number one industry, the Tourism Development Corporation and the Tourism Development Fund. Ian Ferguson is CEO of the TDC.
We are the agency of government responsible for providing that ongoing technical support to businesses, specifically in tourism and hospitality.
Through the TDC in Phase 1, short-term rental owners can obtain a $10,000 grant for renovations, repairs, and overall upkeep of their rental units.
Immediately, people were thinking, oh, I need more than that. But this is going to go a long way in improving properties to ensure that the quality goes up market.
The program, which is funded through $1 million from the Tourism Development Corporation and an additional $1.2 million from the Bahamas Development Bank, was launched here in Exuma. But according to Deputy Prime Minister Cooper, it's a program that will be taken to islands all across the Bahamas. In Georgetown, Exuma, for the Bahamas Tonight. Mm.
Yes, thank you very much. I just want you all to pay close attention. How many times have you heard me come on this radio from the inception and tour a little bit of the tourism industry and how it could change around the Bahamas if we really pay attention to what it has to offer? You understand? We only pay attention to what is happening on Bay Street and stuff like that. Airbnb, many years ago, was in the Grandstand community, in the Bandan community, and all around Anasanu Province, down the Village Road, to the Hub, and all those places like that. And we were able to make a good living. Now we're here in Exuma. This is nothing new. It's just that we are reinventing the wheel again. This is a way for living in these particular areas can, instead of letting the host run down, you and your brother and sister can get together and say, you know what, let's turn to the Airbnb. You know, you keep one side, I keep one side. Let's put aside our differences and let's wait together. Let's clean up the yard. Let's fix the place up. You know, let's clean up the next yard that is filthy next to it. And let's provide security. You know, and let's wait together with other people in the community, you know, so that we can make sure that the community is safe. You know, this is the alternative that we need to happen in this country because, listen, man, there are too many people in this country right now looking for something positive to do, but they just don't have nowhere to turn, and they become idle, you know. And I just see that if we don't push into small business, you know, Mark Turnquest, who I feel that should be appointed some type of position, you know, even though he's private, you know, he should be appointed because he talks about small businesses a lot. And small business in this country can change the economics of this country because we will be able to govern ourselves. What I mean is to govern ourselves. If we get 20 small businesses in a community and we are working together as a team, you know, I have my barber shop, you have your little tuck shop, you're selling your water, this one down there selling chicken shack, this one out a little bakery. So we're working together in this little one particular community. And if there's a problem with any kind of at-risk kids in the community, we all could come together. We know the family. We can help now. You know, we could help police the country. This is policing at its finest. You know, see, the people don't understand. The police in the uniform only could do so much. But us as citizens, we would be the preventative police. You understand? Because we would be able to help clean up the community. We help develop the community. Going to start to see a lot of decrease in the mindset of people who are violent because they themselves will start to see the progress in the community. And I think that our tourism industry can be the beacon to start it, especially over the hill. But not only that, that opens so many doors for other businesses and stuff like that, because you need other utensils, you know. Other people could go into selling selling clothes. Other people could go into selling tennis. Other people could go to in selling, you know. Basically, you know, there's so much opportunities that can happen out of this, out of the tourism industry. And then we go into other business that the people in the community need certain items, and they could go to the convenience store that's down the road from a resident who's a part of the Small Business Association. You understand? So let me finish. I'll get to the topic. Yeah. So the Deputy Prime Minister, Chester Cooper, is a very smart man. He has used his position as a Deputy Prime Minister and a businessman to get business investors from all around the world to come and invest in his community that he represents. Now, he is able to make a lot of things happen because now, you know, he's second in charge of the party. So he have access to all the government departments to make things happen immediately, you know, because he has the position of all the government departments. He has BPL, he has water and sewage, he has all these on his belt because, like I say, if you understand government, the number one man is the prime minister, okay? Government. Number two man is the deputy prime minister. Number three man is probably the minister of national security or, you know, stuff like that. So it's like the first seven position of government are the seven strongest cabinet minister. Minister of foreign affairs, like Fred Mitchell, they are the seven strongest cabinet position. And when you hold those, you have a lot of access to different government departments. You're not like Mr. Watson, who was a junior minister, and he don't have the access like for BPL. You know, a prime example, the light was off on H Street Park. You know, I talked to the minister. The minister wrote an ex-minister in the government to assist him on getting the light ready for the basketball event that I was having 2 months ago along with Nate the Great. And, you know, the last minute, we still didn't get it due because he said he keeps setting it and they were supposed to come and install the light, spotlights on the park. Our alternative was we had to go talk to KK Wong of Central Food Fair on East Street. She has been a partner of mine, and she's also now a friend of Nate. And Nate was able to go to her and tell her we have an event coming up and if she could assist on us and get some spotlights. So KK was able to spend, I think, over $3,000. And she also spent to get it installed on the park. And this is a government park, right? And the minister wasn't able to get it. Now, he would have been able to get it done, right? But the timing frame was taking a little too long because, like I say, he's a junior minister. But if he was a cabinet minister, he would be able to do more. But since he's a junior minister, he don't have the access to, you know, different government position. You know, they don't really take junior ministers that serious. You know, it's a top seven, top nine position in government, which are cabinet position, they're the top positions that you can make things happen. So Chester Cooper is the deputy prime minister. You know, he is a businessman. He know all the government departments. So he know how to get taxes coming from, supplies coming in from these companies that are going to build these hotels and use his contacts and connection. Ask the deputy prime minister to bring development to Exuma. But not only that, he looked at the fact that they're residents living in Exuma, and he wanted them to be a part of this great experience and a great opportunity now that hotels are going to be built, roads, new roads, etc. So he encouraged the residents of that community to say, hey, listen, hotel is right down the road. Sanders just closed down. All right, they have 200 rooms. Why not you guys get think and plan yourself and build yourself an Airbnb to accommodate the guests that will be coming to the hotel, you know, since that sand is closed down or coming to the island. So it makes quite great sense for the residents to benefit from the influx of tourists that is going to come to Exuma and the neighboring family islands. So that's a smart thinking on the part of the prime minister, because now he is a minister. He's a businessman, but also he's providing opportunities for his community. Now, let me show you what's going to happen. It's going to be a trickle-down effect, because now those people who are on the Airbnb, those who have their small business and stuff like that, will now also be able to get a grant. Those who are not in Airbnb will be able to get a grant. Now, you put $1 million grant, and then there was an other 1.2 added from the development bank. So that's like $2.4 million that the government has invested in Exuma for people who have small business. So those who are interested in Airbnb, they can say to myself, you know, I could cook some tart, bake some bread, and there's a volume of guests. See, because when you want to have a business, you need a volume of guests to make sure that you can make a profit and to make sure that your supplies were not spoiled, because, you know, you could have a kitchen selling food, but then you don't have that much guests. But with the closure of the hotel and sandals, with the Airbnb with the Airbnb that will be developed, then other persons who live in the community say, man, I'm going to open my ice cream stall. You know, tourists come to the Bahamas, they can make some nice authentic BM and ice cream. Somebody else could say, you know what, I like to see how I can sell snow cones or sell hot dogs. Someone else come up with something else, you know. Someone will come up with something else. So what you would have, you'd have Airbnb, you'd have persons who could tap into $2.7 million to start their own small business. If they train properly, but banking, they know, but hospitality, you understand, because that's very important as well, you know, because you have to be able to show hospitality to your guests. You know, you're going to know how to talk to people, you know, get along with guests, you know, because you want to make sure that when they come, they have an experience here in the Bahamas, that when they go back, they would tell their family and recommend you, and they would come and they would tip you even more. So it is creating an economy. So I'd just like to give a thumbs up to Chester Cooper. He's a smart man, you know, and he solidifies his position, you know, as a deputy prime minister. And I believe one day he is going to be prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. One day, I don't know when, but if he keeps this up, you know, he solidifies his position as well, because now the people of that community are not going to vote against him, because he has provided opportunities for them, and he's in close contact with them. So as a minister, he is doing an excellent job as far as, say, bringing opportunities to his community. Much less, I can't say, peace of the party, because Mr. Cooper, you know, has brought development to his constituency. The other statistics I was going to talk about is the grant available also that you as a Bahamian, you know, who are listening to the show, you don't play dead, okay? So I want to talk about, opportunities for females, okay? For females, I want the females to listen also. I get a reach in the newspaper. Sorry, just give me a second. Where do you put that? Okay. Sorry. I get a reach here. Yeah, there was a grant given to females. 83 women were given small business grants, and they're taking. Hold on, I want to read it. And I had a market, you know. I used to be so busy doing so much stuff in the communities. People, y'all don't believe me. I never stop working, you know. I always working in the community. I never stop. I need to take a break, man. I think I'm burning out. I got a radio. That's the man. I had a female radio. I don't know about that. Oh. But anyway, so females, you can also go at the Small Business Development, Samantha role. She's director of the Small Business Center. So at the office of the Prime Minister. So you females, you know, you might be good at hair braiding, you might be good at the nails, you know, maybe good at cooking. You know, this is a good opportunity for you guys to, you know, go and apply. But I also want government to try and make it more easier for Bahamians, you know, because a lot of us are burned out. You know, we try and, you know, we don't like to be turning around, you know, because when we get turning around, you know, we get disappointed. And once we get disappointed, that's it, you know, because a lot of Bahamians, like I said, have lost their will to even go there and look for a job because, you know, they tried so many times and just can't be able to find it. So we have the great small businesses as well. Yeah. And they also have, that's a small business center, and that's at the office of the Prime Minister. Yeah, so please, just go check it up, you know. And I just want to say this also. If you live in one of these communities and there's a old abandoned house, right? It could be your family or a friend one, or a house that isn't doing nothing in the community, right? If you know the person, talk to them and see how y'all could do something. Man, just think of something creative, you know? You could fix a phone, turn it into a fixing phone place, or you could fix TV, you know? That they only need one or two little touch-up, and they're good to go. And these things are missing in the community, you know? So you could look around and make some things happen in the community, man. You understand? Not just all the killing and all the rowing, man. Let's make some positive stuff happen in this community, man. There are so many spots that I see in the community that could be transformed into great opportunities for these particular corners. You understand? You could put convenience stores back in these communities like how it was back in the days, you know, barbershops. The small bakeries, you know, all these things, the small daiquiri stands, all these things have gone missing in the inner city community that, you know, once helped benefit the country. A lot of small businesses need to be reestablished in this community if you want to see a change around in this community, you know. Let me just read this. Yeah, this is a $10,000 grant, also for men. You also go at the small business development and apply online. But like I said, I hope that the government officials and government, those who are working the program, you know, for people in the inner city community, they're very, very vulnerable. And you're going to have to show them it step by step by step. You understand? So see how you can make it a little easier for them to understand, to break it down to them. Okay? And don't turn them around, you know? I'm turning around so much because they're trying, you know, and there's an opportunity to change around their lives, you know, and I'm encouraging you people in this country, especially the young men and the females, go check these things out and try something, man. You understand? There's still hope in the country, and there are opportunities that the government provides and organizations out there providing to help you. But you just need to make an effort. I know your spirit dead. Because I talk to a lot of people in that spirit dead, man, and you know, they just need some type of encouragement, you know, some type of motivation. So let me just read. Bahamas entrepreneurs now have the chance to receive up to $10,000 in grant funding through a newly launched initiative aimed at supporting men in business. The program, a collaboration between the Toastmasters Club, 1600, Carnival Corporation, and the Small Business Development Center, will provide financial assistance, mentoring, and business training to help entrepreneurs overcome challenges and build a sustainable business. And a sustainable business means this. You open a business, right, but you don't have the clientele and you can't keep the business open. But with the influx of the 9.7 million visitors that come to our shores every day, if you do your proper training, like the S, Small Business Development Program is offering, right? Toastmasters is offering to train you, right? With that much, and also to help you improve your business, with that much influx of guests coming over, and they could come up till 5 o'clock. See, I'm not talking the nightlife. Until we get ourselves developed, measures in place, you know, that's going to take a little more discussion. But we could have the inner city open from 7 to 5. 4:30, the tourists are starting to head back. So you have the tour guides just in position with the security and the police, who would be known to the community residents who would be patrolling. There'd be persons who are officers from the community, you know, and then we'd have the tour guides and stuff like that to walk them back over there, and taxi drivers to take them back over there, you know. But we could do that 7 to 5. You can imagine from Fortford Castle, go to Monarchy, and we have an influx of guests coming in the inner city community, and we have a lot of small business set up in these particular communities all around. You understand? And I want y'all to think what I'm saying to you guys, because Chester Cooper's doing it in Exumo. I just want y'all to listen. He ain't no fool. He know the only way he can provide opportunities for the residents of his community. And if he want to be the next retiring as minister, and if he want to be the next prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, eh? He need to win a seat. And he need for his constituency residents to be supportive of him. And he's solidifying his position in that community. So you're looking at a 15-year run where he wouldn't even lose. You know, just said if the PLB was to lose the election, the guy would win his seat. And he'd be the front runner to be as opposition leader if Michael Pintat was successful in winning the next general election. You know, but I see that in the near future, we have a mastermind in Chester Cooper. And I think that with all MPs and the PLP party, I think that he is the most dynamic, and he is the one who's thinking it through. And he's also not his position in the party, but he's also planning to help the people of his constituency. And you know, if you listen to the interview a little earlier, you already said he want to make people make more money and sustainable. And that's the kind of leadership we need in these inner city community. You understand? Yeah, so you have $10,000 grants available to help men in business. You can also apply to the Small Business Center. And like I said, you know, it's very difficult. You know, there's a lot of tying around, but I think they're making it easier for you to be able to go through the procedure. So let me encourage you guys. You live in a community. You might want to go in the jet ski business, for instance. You know, you might need 2 jet ski. 10 grand should be able to get you 2 jet ski. You might need a truck, so they might be able to give you even more, you know? And you can start your own jet ski company. You know, tourists like bicycles, you know? You could decide to say, you know what, let me get a little sport downtown, or like I see the younger guys doing now. And they're buying bicycles, 10, 20 bicycles, you know, with motor on it, and they 2 of them, 1 in the front and 1 in the back. And they carry the tourists all around to the forts and stuff like that. They create their own business. You understand? Because they have a sustainable economy. And that economy is the that economy is the 9.7 million visitors that visit our shores last year alone. This year we expected, the Ministry of Tourism stated that we expected to go to about 11 million this year, or 12 million visitors, okay? Bear in mind, like I said, Chester Cooper is doing it in Exuma and providing opportunities for those residents. And we need other MPs to think like that. I heard the opposition leader, Michael Pintard, also talk about small business and helping empower the next generation. So I just want to say this to the leaders of this great organization. You guys have a great responsibility, you know, when you all have these positions as ministers and opposition leader and prime minister and members of parliament, because you guys have the power to help be that change in the country. And that's what we need to see happen in this country today. If we want to see change in this country, let us try and uplift and empower as much people as possible. Okay, 5,000 students come to school every year. And they can't find no work on no unemployment. Because we don't have the industries here in the country. They just stagnated on the streets in Nassau, New Providence. And then they become a problem to us. They're losing their minds. And they become vulnerable. Vulnerable means this. We had an incident where two young men is accused of a murder. But if you follow the trail, it was all about money. And that person who had money was able to influence them because they were at-risk kids from the beginning. And he was able to use his position and the funds that he have to manipulate them and brainwash them and cause them to make mistakes. And look where they is. I treat them in prison now. And if we want to see this country change around, right, we're going to do something differently. I believe empowering people is the best way to change the country dynamics. So I want to compliment the government, the Bahamian people, the females. Go online and check it out. And let me say this again. I'm seeing a lot of people now, you know, fixing up their houses and stuff like that. Right? I'm seeing a lot of people like, cleaning down their lots now. And that's what you need to do. Take advantage of the opportunities. Okay? Families need to get together again and say, you know, let the nephew do something with the property if you're not doing nothing with it. Instead of letting it stay there, and no one is benefiting. And the minute the nephew goes there and the family's not even checking for the property. And this is our problem as Bahamian people now. Family ain't even checking for the property, but host being there when they're 15, 20 years. No one is doing nothing. The nephew come up with a plan and say, you know what? I want to open one little breakfast place. And she's pregnant, so she, you know, I'm going to go there. I need them to use the property. So I go there and start cleaning it down. And I can start saving my money and I can put some windows in it. You know, like no one being bought on the property, it's being there dormant. The minute you go there and start cleaning up, you would see this auntie come, this brother come. Oh, what you doing here? You ain't supposed to be here. No one give you no authorization, blah, blah, blah. You know, discourage a young man and then he go. Then they try to go there and do the same thing. All right? When they try it, it ain't gonna work for them because it was not, they were not chosen to have the plan with a young man have. You know, let me give you a prime example. This Haitian lady, she saw one building on the side of the road. It was through Lewis Creek. So it was just a little small place. A bar was on the side of it. So she, the place being there for like 10 years, no one doing nothing with it. So Haitian lady, you can't blame her. It was right there. We sit, everyone sit down there, see the place, and they ain't doing nothing with it. They ain't come over no way there. So she going there, clean the place up. Must he talk to the owner, they give authorization. And she gonna ready to start a breakfast place. You understand? So she started to make a lot of money. Now all of a sudden she started to make this money. And like I say, this place was there like for 15 years. So she started to make this money. Now, like I say, people was passing this place every day. And they ain't left a finger to do nothing with it. So now the community started supporting the Asian lady. So now, when you listen, oh, she could come around here and come around and do business. You see that? They support one another. What you mean if they support one another? If the people go out there and try it out, why is you one gossip? Instead of you try to come up with your own plan for you to be successful, you got time to be worrying with other people and what they doing. You don't know if God blessed them. And that's our problem. A lot of the business, small businesses in this country over the years have failed. They failed because, all right, let me put it like this. When I say this, this is what I mean. Back in the days, you had family businesses. The father and mother would go into the business and they would turn the business into a great success. But then their children were not brought up. They were brought up spoiled and brought up, they wasn't brought up like how their mommy and daddy, you know, had to struggle, you know, wash and clean and prepare themselves and save their money and work hard for years to go and buy this little piece of property and then build this little restaurant so that they could have a better life and be able to send their children, you know, off to school, off to college for them to have a better life. The children, I mean, experienced this, so they think everything was easy for the mother and daddy. Now, the mother and daddy become successful. The mom passed away. The daddy passed away. Now, so they live in the will. So when they live in the will, this one's supposed to get this, this one's supposed to get that, this one's supposed to, it's a big problem. I mean, look, the brothers and sisters don't even like to speak to one another no more. And this is us as a country. So I'm encouraging persons out there. There's opportunities in this country, okay? You just got to see it. Look around your surrounding, you might not see nothing, but there's something there. And if you try hard enough, if you believe in God, all right, Yahweh, right? If you believe in him, he would show you the way. He would give you a sign. All right? I can tell you my life. You know, I didn't have no purpose after I stopped selling drugs and being a gangster. I didn't know what I was going to do. You understand? And I got to be here on radio. I got to do so much great stuff to help my country. I have a long list of things I've done in this country that I can't even believe I was ever going to be in a position like that. To be able to help so many in the country and come up with creative plans to solve some of the country's problem. You know, because I asked the father and I asked him to help me, he said, I need something for me to do. So I say, you know what? Go in the restaurant business and that's where I'm taking myself. So I'm encouraging each and every one of you to go there, you young kids, you know, you young females, study, find something that you desire. And don't give up trying, you know? Don't give up trying. Just continue to try, you know? So, okay. So the $10 grants available to help men in business, you could go to the Small Business Development Program website. Man and female, it's there available for you guys. All right? So take advantage of the opportunities that government is providing. Because a lot of us say government ain't doing nothing for nobody. Maybe they ain't doing the things that we want to do, but there are programs in there that you could tap into and could help you change around your life. All right. I also want to talk about some other stuff that is going to really be beneficial to the Bayman people. I also want to talk about the Labor Minister, Pia Glover Role. She's talking about a second increase in minimum wage, you know, and this is some good news to hear coming from the government because, like I say, the Bahamas is one of the highest places to live in the world, the most expensive place to live in the world. We are one of the most richest Caribbean countries in the world, you understand? And most definitely, the $250 to $260 that we receive now, based on the bills that a normal person like myself, bills, runs over $1,000 a week. And if I'm only making $260 and I'm working from 9 to 5 from Monday to Friday, probably not Monday to Saturday, and I'm only making like $300, you know, it causes a lot of stress. And this itself, you know, not supposed to be happening in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you know. Because, you know, when you look at the major investments, you know, in the country, you know, we got a $350 million deal for Bahama. You understand? Major investment going on in Freeport in the millions. Major investments going on in Exuma with Chester Cooper. Major investments going on in Cat Island Brave Davis constituency. Millions. We have billions of dollars investments that the government of the Bahamas has been able to secure. Hospitals are being built in the near future by Papel Track. We have about 30 hospitals. But we need to invest more in the people. Okay, so let me talk with Pia Glover. Yeah, I think Ms. Glover is also doing a good job as the Minister of Labor. Ms. Pia Glover role, you know, she's talking on the fact that the government wants to increase minimum wage a second time in this term. So they look to increase minimum wage twice under the Davis administration. I think that's a plus. I mean, everything counts right now, even though, you know, $300 or so, or $310 might be the next minimum wage. You might say, you know, that just a little bit, you know, ain't nothing to be happy about. But let me explain something to you. It's very hard for the government to really increase the minimum wage because they would be challenged by companies in the country who would oppose that increase. So government can have the best intention of increasing the minimum wage, but they only increase like with $50 or $60 like every 2 years or so. And they have to make sure that the economy is crippling, you know, it's climbing, because that's the only way the business owners would agree, you know, to the decision of the government would like to increase the minimum wage. See, that's the things we need to understand too. We'd say, but government coming, why they not increase the minimum wage? Yeah, the government might increase the minimum wage, but what about the private sector who own all the business in the country would say to the government, no, man, we can't deal with that. You know, we lost this year because of COVID-19 and blah, 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 and they get their own lawyers and it'd be a back and forth with government and the stakeholders who are actually the business owners in the country. You know, so you got to applaud them for even making the decision to even be recommending to do a minimum wage increase in this term. So I applaud Pia Glover Road. That's my classmate from C.I. Walker. I was 2 grades ahead of her at C.I. Walker, and she seems to be doing a tremendous job as the Minister of Labor. So that's our next plus to the government. You know, like I said, even though it might only be a pay increase of $50, $60. But I also want you to understand that these increases that any government comes in will be challenged by the private sector. Okay? If you could remember, a few times back when Honorable Hubert Alexander Mendes made a statement concerning business people owed life a key, and he stated that he wanted to increase taxes on them, you know? And then I listened on the news, you know, he said he wanted to increase in tax on them, and he wanted to lower the taxes on the poor and tax the rich. So he said it on the news. Man, look, yeah, by 12 o'clock, all I was listening to the news, and I heard business people sitting down for the interview. They got about 40 lawyers there. One lawyer speaking for the people, or Life Key, or whatever the business people were. And all they were saying that how much businesses they own, how much national insurance they pay. And they say they're getting ready to boycott the Bahamas and close down their businesses. If them when they threaten Hubert Mendes, eh? All the next couple of minutes, report gave an office of the Prime Minister. There's no tax increase on the people of Lyford Key. Y'all remember that? See, I should remember everything. Right? So, like I say, you could be the Prime Minister, right? You can make some big decisions, but some decision, you're gonna be challenged. You understand? You're gonna be challenged. Yeah. Yes. So again, I would like to give a shout out to Mark Tancrest. Mr. Tancrest, for me, I will be coming to see you very shortly. I'll be personally paying down on 20 poisons before the year out for you to come in and train and help them set up with their business plan and get their business licenses and help structure them. You know, I'm going to do that in my small community where I live because I feel that this is the way to go. I feel that if we can, like I said, if we create a lot of small businesses in the community, it's going to create a lot of offset jobs, you know, trickle-down effect, and we will be able to police our community more better. That's how I feel. And I feel that once we are able to do that and we start to communicate more, we can actually help transform the community and make the community a village again. We're going to take this one call on Guardian Radio. Go ahead, caller.
A pleasure. Good evening, Scrooge.
Hey, good night, good night. What's up?
Right here, good buddy. Right here, good buddy. You know, Scrooge, you know me. The funniest thing, Scrooge, we keep talking the same story over and over. I mean, we don't seem to get nowhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the funniest thing is, you remember when we was fighting against freedom of slavery?
Yeah.
Remember that story?
Yes, sir.
It go out and against America. You remember the white man left England because they wanted freedom of religion and freedom of this and freedom of that from the king.
Yes. That's the Mormons, so the Mormons?
They
that was the Mormons, right?
So they leave England. Remember, I don't know if they told you the same story they told me.
I think it was the Mormons. The Mormons, I think.
No, there was a Pilgrim Father.
Yeah, that's the same thing as the Mormons. Yeah,
and they landed on Plymouth Rock somewhere in America. Now, when they reached over there, they met them Indians. The American Indians, right?
Yeah, the black American Indians.
Yeah, okay, they met them over there now. Now, when Columbus come over with Spain and the Queen and all them, they meet people over here, too.
People who's ever here.
Yeah,
no,
I never discovered that.
No, Christopher. In his journals, he said he meet the most beautiful set of people in the world. I tell you what.
When he gone down to Mexico,
mm-hmm.
he met the Aztec Indian.
Mm-hmm. Black Indian.
When they go down to Peru, they met the Peruvians.
Mm-hmm.
And they met temples and pyramids built to the gods just like they met in Egypt.
And Christopher Columbus brought Christianity and death.
Uh-huh.
And he brought Christianity and death.
He bought the Bible. He gave the King James version.
Okay,
of the Bible.
I want people to know that.
Yeah, that's when King James say, now the Bible is written the way I want it. Now it's time for you to spread it to the world.
Okay, I want the Christian people to understand this.
Yeah, no, hold on. And a lot of people, they meet them with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the New Testament, the Old Testament. But they didn't realize that King James, the first of England, had 47 Oxford scholars in England to translate the Catholic Bible into English.
Mm-hmm.
In English. And when he got it the way the king wanted it, then he said, okay, now we can spread it in 1611. They started writing out, translating that back in 1602, I think. In 1611, they started saying, okay, the king said, oh, I like it the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
The king, that's why they call it the King James Version. Now, in all our churches, the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, the Baptist Church, the Seventh-day Adventist, they always tell you, we all grew up in this King James Version. Remember the word version.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the King James Version. That don't mean that's the only Bible.
That's right.
That was King James Version. And then all of us grew up going to school and everything, brainwashed from children about this version.
Yeah.
You understand that? And then when we come down to ourselves right now, big 70 and 60 and 50 years, we still brainwashed with this version. You understand what I'm saying? Hello?
Yeah, listening.
Yeah, and they spread that on us. Now, when we start to rebel now, in America and so forth, we remember the Christendom, the white people came from England down to Plymouth Rock because they was running from the king and queens and king of England. They wanted their own freedom.
Yes.
Freedom of religion, freedom of this and that. Then they meet the Indians over there who had their own religion.
Yes.
Who they was the God that they were serving in all these different places.
Yes, that's correct.
Now what they do is they change their religion to make it into their religion with the King James Version.
All right.
Okay, you understand that, God? And then it passed down. Then they bring the black slaves from Africa, change their name from Gunga Gunga to Mr. Williams and Mr. George and Mr. Bill. Mr. Gibson and all that kind of thing. Change their name and everything. And then they start telling the black people, bam, 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 put them on the plantation, and they're picking cotton and peanuts a day, all day in the sun, until the black people get tired and say, okay, now, we want our freedom. Now they fight, they work hard for their freedom now. Mm. Now they give the freedom, okay, the white people say, okay, you're free to go. What the black man do?
That's Baki.
What the black man do? The black man gone, he led the white man plantation. He gave him freedom, and he got right back to the boss and said, Bossa, can I have a job, please? And he got right back to the white man and asked for a job. It's good.
Hey.
Did he go right back to the boss who let him free and ask for a job, right?
Go ahead.
In the Bahamas, all the elites would own everything. Where the Bahamian black people working? Right there to the elites, the master. When you go in all the places in Mount here, all the big establishments, do you see the white people inside there?
No.
No, they got Haitians, Filipinos, Chinese, black people working there. You don't see the white people nowhere in this country. You don't see them on East Street.
Why is that?
You don't see them on Woodford. You don't see them. They're up in the office watching their money.
And why are why the Filipinos, why the blacks, and why the Haitians are working in these places?
Hold on. I can tell you the truth. You go up to Fox Hill by the roundabout inside Fox Hill, the Dougal Bar, which used to be owned by Mr. the man up there.
Man, Sparky.
Hold on.
You need to hold on, man. You need to hold on, man. Listen, I asking you, why is it that, yes, the white man, or whoever we call them, they get all the businesses, and they have the Chinese, they have the Filipinos, and they have all these people working in their stores. Why?
Better be Miss Wiggins.
I ask you, what?
I don't know. I know all of them.
Why?
Most of the women working in, all the restaurants and they head out to the back by the ankles.
Why? It's just like my boy say, my boy already said this now. He said the government don't care about it. It's the Bahamian people themselves who have to make a difference and make the government care. You have to be go there and make some things happen for yourself. Then the government follow. It's the citizens.
No, the government only wants you to vote for them on one day.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they go back to serving the king.
Yeah, that's true.
They served the king for 5 years. They used to serve the queen. Now, there used to be Queen's Council, now there's King Council.
Yes, Bach. Yes. So, yeah.
5 years. At the end of 5 years, they come knocking on your gate.
Yeah.
We want you to vote for us to put us back to the
see,
king.
See, that's why I educate the Bahamian people, let them know that the Prime Minister signs on a 5-year contract. You don't hear them kind of talk. You hear them from the guy from the streets because I study these things and I been with Sir Lyndon Penn and I been around Perry Christie. I understand these things. I sit down, I talk with these men, these great men, them, and I learn off them. That's why I could come with you and tell the Bahamian people these things.
So why we keep doing it every 5 years?
We can't be clear because we, listen, you know why we keep doing it every 5 years? Because we program. We program. You can't see me program?
We don't own nothing. We don't go out with the bed. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. You can't see me program. And that's why. In school, let me explain something to the general public. What school teaches the kids? Maths, English, social study. All right. Yeah. From grade 1 to grade 12. You study maths, English, social study, this, religious knowledge, blah, blah, blah. Can I ask you a question? What job market that prepares you, what does that, those education stuff you just learned, what job in the Bahamas that prepares you for? All the education for the last 12 years, your mommy done spend, you know, every day she gave you a little 5 or 10. So in that time, parents done probably spent a little 60 or 100,000 or $200,000 on you from the time you've been going to school, not 12 years. And you're going to school learning maths, English, social studies, and all this stuff. Now, when you come out of school and they're telling you, say, no, go be a productive citizen, and you go in a job industry, where are your options for you to find a decent job? Yeah. You have very few choices. Government, immigration, police, defense force, you know, or Trudy Bakery, or some company that you know is not going to go out of business, you know. But what else? Huh? They teaching trades in school? I mean, they are starting to teach trade in school. Are they teaching business in school? If my friend Edroy said that just now, right? And he's correct. Because if we care about the Bahamian people and we understand that we have a high unemployment problem in the country, right? We know that now, we know that we have established a lot of small businesses in the community. We know that we have a tourism industry and a tourist product that we have not tapped in the market that could be very beneficial to the people in the inner city community. A market that made $5 billion last year alone. So Baki said, you know, we've been saying this over and over. Listen, there ain't nothing new under the sun. All we're doing is reinventing the wheel. So we might be speaking over and over, but what we're speaking is actually the truth. So it's just a reminder for those all out there listening that, hey, man, listen, if you do these things, we can make the country better. Okay, we just have to establish more small businesses in these inner city communities, put more centers up and give people the opportunity, trade centers. We need plumbers. We need electricians, you know? We need guys who got auto mechanics and stuff like that. We need these businesses available for us in the community, and we have to be able to reinvent the wheel and give those out there who have lost their way an opportunity to get some of this life we say in the Bahamas. You know, because right now, a lot of people right now are just going crazy around the country. Y'all don't look, when you're driving the car, you don't see, look at the young man, them sitting down on the side of the road. Okay, and this is how serious it is. Let's get calls from the prison. Okay, so y'all don't listen to nobody but phone, this and that. Let's get calls from the prison. The guy's up there charged for serious offenses, asking for $1,500. This make any sense? You top killer. 5-6 people you didn't kill. 2-3 people you didn't kill. Do this armed robbery. You've been an armed robber all these years. And you still ain't only get a dollar. You ain't even get a dollar in your pocket. You know what's to be a serial killer. You know what's to be a serious killer in the country. Listen to this now. You was a serious guy who you say you're serious and everyone's supposed to fear you, right? Now, yeah, lock up, you get charged. You go to jail. After in 2 months, you calling around to people who poor, who ain't getting nothing. You will be calling them to ask you to do something for you. You think your guy's making any sense? Huh? So I say, utilize that seriousness to do something positive in this country. You know? So let me go with my last topic. What I was going to talk about now. Yeah. So you have to make better decisions and better choices. I also want to talk about how the government of the Bahamas, you know, the opposition was referring to a statement made by the government concerning bank profits show needs to regulate. So these are things that we need to look at. The banks in the country are being robbing and taking advantage of the Bahamian people for many years. You know, like when you put your money in the bank, right? And just say, all right, you get $150 in the bank. And you go and you take $20 off. How 25 cents could be coming off? Or 50 cents could be coming off every time you use that. You understand? That don't make no sense. Then if you leave your money in the bank for a certain amount of time and you don't put nothing on it, you know, they still take out their money because your money is in the bank. And you could have $300 in the bank. And you ain't putting that in the bank for a little while, right? And just because you have a bank account, they charge you for that. You know? And when you borrow, they had such a big, you know, payback plan. So I applaud the government. I also listen to the opposition when they're saying that, you know, this just a PR. No, they're talking about the thing. And the opposition, you know, they're saying that's a PR because they're saying that, you know, the government is only doing it because, you know, it's getting close to the election when it comes to talking about the bank. Need to be regulated and the ongoing discussion about the minimum wage. So they're saying that's a political ploy because the election is close. Of course, it might be. Might be. But we need to look at it into how the Bahamian people are getting treated. You know, one of the best banks, I think, is Commonwealth Bank. You know, good to do business, you know, good bank. But it's very important that they talk about these things. Let me just read it. Caribbean, after CIBC Caribbean reported a 14% rise in net income, F&M leader Michael Pindlott urged that the bank's profits highlights the need for regulating bank fees now. Of course. And this is the kind of things we need the government to do because, like I said, we are Bahamians, you know, and this most expensive place to live and high fees and, you know, we need to look at these things and see how we can break it down a little lower for Bahamian people in this country if you ever want us to recover and to become a country again where, you know, we can be able to live, you know. It's too expensive over here. You know, and everyone is taking advantage of the Bahamian people. You understand? You put money in the bank, takes up more. You ain't been to the bank for 1 year and you leave with $300-$500 there. I guarantee you at the end of the year, you might only have but $50 left there. Because all you see is bank statement coming in. Bank statement coming in. And that's wrong. My money in the bank, my money is supposed to be the same. If I put $500 in the bank, January, $500 is supposed to still be in the bank December. Not when I go, I put $500 in the bank January, and when I go, look, I ain't touch my money, and look, I see but $200-something gone. Where it gone? The bank takes it. They give you a high interest rate when you go and you borrow money. That's unfair. What have our government do over the years? Nothing. You know, so it's time you look into these things. So all this is a thumbs up to the government, thumbs up to the opposition. They're responding to everything that the government is doing, you know. And sometimes, like I said, you know, I don't know, like I said, I don't know how the election is going to go. It's about 2 years away. Opposition is trying to do their best. The government is trying to do their best. I don't know if it's going to be a close election. I don't know who people are going to vote for or how the people are feeling. If you ask people how they're feeling now, I talk to some people. I talk to my boy Elroy. He say, you know, the FNM is going to win the election. Brave them is going to lose. I talk to some business people who I talk to on a regular basis who are business people. They're saying that both sides on the FNM and PLP side, they said that the PLP is doing good business. Thanks to Chester Cooper and the Davis administration, they're good at doing business. You know, they also, given all the different unions who are striking, Brave is making it clear that he's dealing with the situation quick, fast, and hurry. You know, there were a couple of rise. We have seen the settlements happen after each corporation, you know, they hold up a test, government responds, and, you know, eases the tension. So, yeah, you know, so why I know. But all I know is for us as Bahamians, take advantage of the opportunity of the small businesses. You know, don't play dead. Yeah. And they need to regulate the banking industry to protect the Bahamian people. You know, because for many years it's been going on in this country and we have to make a stand. So, yes, something else I want to rub in, I think. And you remember also, I always told you guys that when you're looking at the newspaper or you're reading and you want to know what's going on in the country. And then I was reading this thing here about Commissioner Barred from Prison by Murphy. So I'm just going to rub this in real quick. Prison Commissioner Joan Claire claimed his predecessor, Charles Murphy, you know, barred him from the compound shortly after the 2021 general election. Right? Days before, Mr. Murphy was placed on administrative leave, and Mr. Claire was appointed acting commissioner. Mr. Murphy has sued the government for sidelining him, and Mr. Claire's claim came as the trial resumed yesterday. National Security Minister Wayne Monroe also testified yesterday. You know? So, again, you see how we describe one another. Now, you know, these two guys, just like Marvin Dames and Greenslade, right? Marvin Dames and Bo Greenslade went off to London to train as top cops. They were granted special privilege, and they went to train for the UK, I think, for a year. And they were fighting for who was going to be the commissioner of the Royal Mounted Police Force. And we knew on the ground that there was a problem. We knew one was a FNM and one was a PLP. And when it came, when they came back to Nassau, it was quiet for a little bit on who was going to be the next commissioner of police. Then we heard that it was Ellison Greenslade who became commissioner of police. He did two terms. And Marvin Dames, you know, he stayed on for a few years, you know, as acting commissioner of police. He was working at the airport division, where he was controlling the airport. And then he decided, you know, he didn't be on the Royal Bombers Police Force no more. He went into private practice, working at, I think, Bahama, where he met Sakas Arisius, or whatever the guy named, who was the man in charge at that particular time. And he decided to go into politics. Greenslade at that time, he was still commissioner. The government lost the election. Marvin Dames became the Minister of National Security. You know, talks were said that, you know, he wasn't going to remove Greenslade as commissioner, and that, you know, that's just rumors. Short was rumors. When we listened shortly afterwards, a few months, probably a year, we heard that Greenslade was going to be stepping down as commissioner and going to be an ambassador, where he's still ambassador up to this day. So we have Mr. Claire, who was put on administration leave, because, you know, one must see a PLP, one is the FNM. And look who is in the middle now. Because Mr. Claire was put on leave by Murphy, he is suing the government. So he is looking to get anywhere close to $1 million. And he's still working now. And he is actually the commissioner of the prison right now. So he's going to get paid because Murphy decided he didn't like him, or because he's a part of a political party and he didn't want him on the compound, right? He sent him on leave. Mr. Clare got paid for that leave. Then the government changed again. Murphy got put on leave, right? Claire took over as acting, now he is the commissioner, all right? Now, Claire has the case before the court, all right? And that means now that he looking to get compensated for the time that he was laid off. So you know who this is hurting? This is hurting the Bahamian taxpayers. Now, that, now when this case is cleared up and they find that Claire is entitled to his his complaint means that he has the rights to claim that he was put on administrative leave because of differences. He can sue for a certain amount of money, right? And now he's commissioner of police. I mean, commissioner of the correction center, you know? So who's hurting who here? Because my man don't like Claire, right? And Claire must don't like him. Because they part of a fraternity of PLB and FNM. And this is what we do to one another. You understand? So God right now is just smiling at us and saying, boy, we some fools. All we're doing is destroying one another in this country. Because Claire's beaming, Murphy's beaming, right? You get power now, you take advantage of me. You understand? That's all we're doing. No? We'd be so smart, we ain't even saying that. So that's why all I can say, if you want to change the things in this country, let's empower people. And let's see what's going to happen after that. Because right now, it seems that all we're doing is taking advantage of one another. And Sparky said, you know, we're doing the same thing over, we're talking about the same thing over and over and over. But the same thing, and we're talking about the same thing over and over because the things we're saying can actually solve the country's problem. Simple as that. So, yeah. So with Claire and Murphy, Claire now is going to sue the government. He's going to win that. He's going to get a judgment. And they're going to award him that, and that coming out of taxpayers' money. Then I was watching the other day in the newspaper, a Haitian lady who was denied Bahamian citizenship has won a settlement. And she got a big settlement. You understand? Because they denied her citizenship. You understand? All is coming to taxpayers' money. You know what I mean? And the taxpayers means us people. You know? So we just have to be able to continue to not give up. You know? For a small country as the Bahamas, we have more problems than some of the biggest nations in the world. And it's because we don't realize that we have destiny in our hands, but we let the system corrupt us. We let the Roman system come here in the country, the Christopher Columbus system come here of conquer and divide. And we ourselves become the Romans, you know, the hierarchy who hold the position. And they won't listen to the populace who allowed them to be the Romans, you know? And if you're trying to understand, if you're trying to say what I'm talking about the Romans, the government system is the Roman system. Nothing new. It's just that we inherited and Christopher Columbus brought it over. And now we got rid of the British, got rid of the white man. The white man still is doing business on the older realm. Now we just describe one another inside the inner city community and the country at large. You know, we become religious, we become politicized. You know, so now we just describe one another. So all I can say is just hope that, you know, the powers to be, that all of us start to go into small businesses and help develop our community to change our mindset. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on God in the Radio. Go ahead.
Good night, Scrooge.
Good night.
Yeah, this is the GNN, Ghetto News Network.
Okay.
A lot more people, Scrooge, need to listen to your show on Friday night, Scrooge, because you drop it real, you keep it real. You understand me?
Yes.
And what you're hitting on tonight is exactly what is happening to the Bahamian people. A divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And you know, when you hit these good points, you know, OGNN like to call it.
Yes, sir.
Qualify. Qualify what you're saying, because a lot of people, that is go over their head.
Yes, sir.
You understand me? Now, I can go back again. When Pinlin was a young upstart in this country, very young, positive upstart, and it was evident that Pinlin was a winner in the general election. He was called to Africa as a guest by the then dictator, the democratic dictator ruler for life, Mugabe.
Yes.
Pinlin went to Africa at Mugabe's expense, and he taught Selinden Oscar Pinlin something you just said a while ago, a divide and conquer technique. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, Pinlin, when he came back, he never told his members of the divide and conquer technique, because I guess Pinlin was young and upstart, and he was fresh and in everybody's mind and couldn't do no wrong. However, I want you to listen, I want the nation to listen to that. When Kendall Isaacs and them were in charge of the FNM, watch them, you see them crowds, what they used to be up at the Sports Center, Scroogey?
Yes, sir.
Massive FNM crowds?
Yes, sir.
And they couldn't win, right? Now, Kendall Isaacs, them asked Christie, after Christie, Ingram, and Finland fall out, asked Christie and Ingram to come over and head a party.
Mm-hmm.
But Christie and Ingram was telling Kendall Isaacs, no way, we is PLP. We ain't on that run, okay? Now, it wasn't until Selinden Oscar Pinlin got sick on his sick bed that he brought, and I don't know if you remember this in the papers, his two sons to his bedside. That was Christie and Ingram.
Yes.
Exactly. It was all over the news.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it. I remember.
Pinlin called his two sons. Pinlin told them, Christie, you still live soft for one. You come back to the PLP. He say, Ingram, you go to the Free National Movement. Take that party over. He said, and between the two of y'all, it doesn't matter which way the Bahamian people go, y'all got them. And if you think what I'm saying is foolishness, all everybody can do is sit down and think about the sequence of events. When Ingram was on the stage a couple of years ago and Minnis was in Freeport at the FNM rally.
Yes.
Terry said something that week to tick off Ingram. And on to the FNM rally, with thousands of FNMs out there, Ingram said, I ain't wearing but Perry. I's more PLP than Perry. And the stupid, dumb, divided crowd clap and cheer. And there was a time prior to the election when Ingram said, if I don't get it, Perry can get it.
He's talking to Brenville. He's talking to Brenville
exactly.
McCartney. When he said Brenville was popular
exactly.
in the country. Yes, and he said, you think, exactly. yes. He said, I'll give it. He said, I'll give it to the Christie before you.
I'll give it
yes.
to Christie.
You're right.
And if they think we joking further, they could have looked in Olive's guest house just about every Friday or every other Friday.
And see them there.
And tell me who do you see in there sitting on
Perry and Ingram.
Perry and Ingram.
Eating stew fish all day.
Exactly. Now, another thing for them said who don't believe it. Who gone to Abaco during the hurricane when Minnis was the boss?
Perry and Ingram, and he run them.
And Minnis run them.
Yeah.
Because Minnis ain't really a part of the clique.
Yeah.
So, Scroogey, you right on point tonight. You right on point. It is the divide and conquer technique they've been using. Well, Pinlin, like I say, Pinlin unveiled it late when he got sick in the early 90s.
That's when
he really tell. Ingram them what was going on, what Mugabe taught him.
You see that? And that's how most leaders are taught that.
Yes, they are. So we in the mess and the Bahamian people grab it, hook, line, and sinker
yes.
and run with it.
Mm.
Now, it was still little up back in the day, it was still a little hot in terms of politics.
Yes, sir.
Bahamian people was too smart. So what they did, they took their Minister of Education and they took the grade from A, B, and C, and a leaving diploma down to D, E, F, and G, and just a leaving certificate to keep the population dumbed down so they could continue to follow the FNM and the PLP. And wow. The Bahamian people ain't catch on to that yet.
Wow. Thank you very much.
I need call to reiterate
yes,
what you were saying in a little more detail.
Yes,
thanks
sir.
For taking my call.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Food for thought. Yeah, people. And like I say, we inherit the Roman system. Instead of we use the system for betterment for the Bahamian people, we used to oppress one another. You understand? Like I talk about Marwan Dames, right? Allison Greenslade, both Bahamians. Look how they went out at Navi off with Murphy and Claire. And who was benefiting? Claire and Murphy, because when they go on the ministry, they will get paid. Eh? Because they're gonna gather the tax of me and you, light bill, water bill, gas bill, and they utilize to pay these people when they ones who mess up and costing the treasury all kind of unnecessary money, putting people on leave, knowing that they're a government employee and knowing that the people can sue. And then if they go to court, some of these people get like $1 million. You know, the commissioner did it that a day. You understand? He was put on administration leave that a day when the FNM came in power. Now he's back as commissioner. You understand? We can take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City. Sorry for taking so long. If you're still there. Caller, you there? Caller, you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm fine. Good night to you.
Sorry, I had to call my screws. I'm never talking with the two sons, right? You got to remember one thing. You remember he also called Norman Solomon Nandi Man. Remember they said Norman Solomon?
Yeah.
Norman Solomon went down by building a house, and he came up with tears in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because Van Tillett, remember Van Tillett? Excuse me. Van Tillett won the government from the UBB. Norman Solomon told Tillett in the House Assembly, congratulations, Mr. Tillett. Y'all got this little house down here on Bay Street. But when y'all look around, y'all, we got everything else.
Talking to Bay Street.
All the Dalbinas, all the Kellys, All them other places.
All the ports.
Where we go to shop and everything.
All the ports, yep.
All the ports. All the marinas.
And if you get the ports and marinas, you can get the country.
You got the Royal Nassau Sailing Club. You got the Nassau Sailing Club. You got the whole of the marinas all in the harbor. You got Kelly's. You got City Lumberyard. You got every place, Dalmatians, Airfield Pitchers. Every place we buy things from in this Bahamas is who?
And you could go, and if you
want. All of them, right to this day, right?
Yeah.
The poor people who are there, they're just going to buy their merchandise. Right to them, right?
Yeah, sir.
Okay, so you think anything ever changed? And nothing ever changed. Oh, no, you know what ever changed? The lawyers and the accountants in this country right now, most of them are shareholders in them same companies.
Wow. Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
And then we got one group with eight guys decided, Frankie Wilson them decided back in the 70s, they was going to start the Sunshine Boys. They started off with eight guys. And if we were sensible enough to get the buy into them shares, most of us would have been millionaires today. It was eight guys, and they was all PLPs that decided the Sunshine Boys.
Thank you very much.
Now, the biggest in this country, when it comes to the black people.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and like I said, he talked with the Sunshine Boys. I was watching the interview, and I'm closely could remember, I don't know if it was the late, great Bradley Roberts or Frankie Wilson a year or two, they were saying when the organization started, I think it was Bradley Roberts got the money from Sir Roland Simonet, Brent Simonet, old man. And I think he gave each one of them $5,000, Frankie Wilson, to go into business. You hear this? Listen, people, that's why I tell you go into business, right? And they started the Sunshine Group of Companies. Now that's a multi-million dollar company. You understand? Frankie Wilson was poor just like me and you. You understand? They worked their way up. But listen to that again. I heard it was a Roland Simmons, because I think it was Bradley Roberts on TV a few years ago, or so Frankie Wilson. I can't remember, but it was either one of them. And I think it was Mr. Roberts. And he's on Facebook, and he's talking about how he received certain amount, what, $25,000 or $30-something thousand or $25,000. You know, that was plenty of money back in the day. And it was given to Mr. Roberts. Mr. Roberts used the money to give to Frankie Wilson and all them stuff, because Mr. Roberts had more money than all them. Because Mr. Roberts was dealing with the white man, was dealing with Mr. Roland Simonet, who I heard that was a good man. He helped with so many black Bahamians in the country that just help them out. So yes, you know, leaders are taught. It's like, let me give you a prime example, like Brave Davis, before we go. They are taught, okay? They're taught how to govern. They're taught how not to pay attention to the people, even if they have to lose the election. You understand? Because they know their career is solidified. They know that once they're elected and they win the election, their face go up, that can never be removed. If every minister that comes in government, their face stays up for the rest of their lives. You go in the Ministry of National Security, you'd see Marvin Dames, then you'd see Vian Monroe, then you'd see the Point of Knowledge, you know. And it doesn't say PLP or FNM. They're just putting their pictures up each year, each 5 years or whatever the situation is, their faces go up. You know? So, yeah. I'll be about 3 more minutes. So, schools need to teach business. Frankie Wilson, I'm learning business. That's why they became successful. And, you know? Bismarck Coakley, my cousin Carlos Coakley's daddy, multimillionaire, he passed away. He gave St. Agnes, what, I think $1 million to do renovation on St. Agnes Church, and they also bought that next building on the side of St. Agnes Church. And they develop it, and they adopt that community. So, you see, and, you know, he gave the money so that they could be able to do some renovation to St. Agnes Church, but also to do some other programs, other initiatives and programs for the community. You know, so you're seeing the old building being repaired. Now that's Anku, father, who once stayed there. He was a dentist. You know? So, yeah. So I just want to encourage the Bahamian people to know that we are destroying one another in this country. We need to uplift one another and stop fighting on one another. And I know that's near impossible, because we still haven't learned. You know, we inherit a system that divides and conquers us. Instead of, we use the system to our benefit. We use it to pull down one another. And because of that, you know, it's led us to a dysfunctional society. But I think that if we work more on empowering people in the country, you know, we've seen Chester Cooper do it on Exuma. I'm going to be doing it around my community, help empower people with small business. That's the only thing I'm going to be interested in. Then Han is going into helping empower people, you know, to give them an opportunity. Because like I said, there are so many young men and female out there looking for an opportunity in this country, and they've lost their way because there's no future here for them in the country. So we have to make a future here in the country for those individuals. And to do that, you have to be creative in your own mind. Come up with your own solution and work together with your family members so that you guys can get together and come up with a creative plan that can benefit you and your community for the near future. And we have a sustainable sustainable way of income, and that's the tourism industry. 9.7 million visitors last year. We're looking at record-breaking 12 million this year. We made about $5.7 billion last year alone. So we have the customers. We just need to find a way how to create small businesses and create some other small jobs in the country so that we can have a prosperous Bahamas. To
alleviate some of the pressure and stress off the residents that live in this country who want an opportunity for a better life but just can't find no work, can't find no employment, can't find no, just nothing. You know, in this wonderful Bahamas we have, which is one of the richest in the world. So thanks to all the callers that call in. You know, I hope you enjoy the show. If God spare life, I'll see you next week on Guiding Radio. I'm Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, signing out. Good night, everyone. Enjoy.
La, 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 la. I represent the Indian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Where I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check.